Little Hirsch. He explains why Esav went off the derech, and it needs an explanation. Esav came from a wonderful family. Esav's father was Yitzchak Avinu. And nevertheless, Esav became Esav HaRasha. And Rav Shamshon of Pearl Hirsch tells us an amazing thing. He says that Yitzchak Avinu made a terrible error in his upbringing of Esav. Yitzchak believed, says Rav Shamshon of Pearl Hirsch, falsely, that Esav was to be brought up the same way that Yaakov Avinu was. That these two children that he had the same, well, that what would work for one would work for the other. And so he tried to bring up Esav in the same manner that he brought up Yaakov Avinu, and he met Rachmana Litzlan with tremendous failure. And therefore, even a Yitzchak Avinu can fall into the trap of treating children as if they come from the same mold. And the truth is, each one is an individual. That's the first thing we see from the Zvart of Rav Hirsch. The second thing that we see is that if someone does fall into this trap, Hashem Yishmarenu, it is a formula for disaster. Very often, parents, even when they're successful, rather especially when they're successful, they feel that there's a certain formula for bringing up children. Perhaps they read about it in a certain book, or perhaps they heard about parenting techniques on a tape. And they believe that whatever they hear applies across the board, in all times and in all circumstances, and with all kids. And the truth of the matter is, there is no such thing. Of course, fairness and honesty and the like are techniques which you use, which are necessary for all children across the board. But in terms of expectations, in terms of methodology of communicating with the child, in terms of what yeshiva to send him to, what path to send him on in life, in terms of what type of person you are training this child to be. So there, Chanoich Lenar Al Pi Darkoi is the formula that we should follow. And we have to understand that children, although they come from the same family, could be very, very different. And to some, this is a big chiddush. To some, if you have two children that grow up in the same family, with the same set of parents, in the same house, going to the same yeshivas, walking the same streets, eating in the same pizza stores, sleeping in the same bedroom, well, if the environment is the same, people think, then the children themselves must be very, very much the same as well. This is not so. There are two components to a person. There's a person's midos. Midos are personality characteristics. There is another component to a person's personality, another group of characteristics, that are called techunos. The difference between techunos and midos is that midos are those characteristics that are changeable. A if a person is a balgaiva, if a person is, say, selfish, these are basically characteristics that we can change by working on them. How to work on them is a different story. But if you hit the right note, for the most part, you'll be successful in changing these characteristics. Tichunois are those parts of a person that cannot be changed. Those parts of a person that are so intrinsic to their personality that no matter where they go, what they do, how they are brought up, those parts of their personality still remain intact. If somebody is very emotional, if somebody is very volatile, that is often a personality tichuna that doesn't change. We can teach a child that his excitability can be channeled to avodas Hashem, but it's useless to try to change it. On the opposite end of the personality spectrum, we have the phlegmatic individual, who's very calm and is not excitable. Perhaps you'd like to get him more excited in things that he should be excited about. It's usually not going to work, because there are certain parts of a person that just cannot change. And that's good. If a person has something about him that cannot change, then it's not nothing bad. It's something that has to be channeled to avoid deception. And people with different tichunois need different formulas for life. They have different missions. They have different nisyonos. The Gemara says that if somebody has a natural lust for blood, he loves blood, he should become a shochet. The Gemara says that if somebody loves revenge, he should become a dayan, he should become a judge, an enforcer of the law. Every tichuna has its mission in this world. And what we find is, although two children can be brought up in the same family, under the same set of circumstances, they may have two totally, completely, utterly different tichunos, such that trying to bring up one the way the other was successfully brought up is a formula for disaster. Parents very often think that children are the same, when in fact they are not. Now, there is another trap that parents fall into, very similar. In fact, it's the exact same trap, but with a different application. And it's a trap that involves misjudging a person's personality. You know, I always wondered what the Goyim think of Yidden. Well, we know what Goyim think of Yidden, but I'm talking about whether Goyim believe that Yidden are actually sincere about Yiddishkeit. I always wondered about that. When they see us going to shul on Shabbos, when they see us opening and eating in exclusively kosher establishments, do they really believe that Yidden are sincere about what they're doing? And then, long, long time ago, I came across a Gemara that I thought answered this question for me. It's a Gemara in Kedushin, and the Gemara tells a story about a certain Goy by the name of Domo Bar Nesina. This Domo, the Gemara says, was so nizer, he was so careful about Kibud Av Va'Em, that when the Chazal came to him to buy a stone for the Big Day Kahuna, he refused to retrieve it for them, because in order to do so, he would have to wake up his father, under whose pillow this stone was located. And Doma told the Chazal, he said, I know that any money in the world that I would ask you for this stone, you would give me. But no matter what, I can't wake up my father. So there you have it. Doma said that he knows that Chazal would give all the money in the world, any price that he would ask for this stone that they need for the Big Day Kahuna. So Goyim do know that Yidden would be willing to spend a lot of money for tefillin for their children. That Yidden would spend a lot of money, Elacha Yidden we're talking, Yidden that really would. That Elacha Yidden would spend money to get a nice esrig for Sukkos. That Yidden would spend a lot of money to buy a mezuzah for their doorposts. And when I saw this Gemara, I thought I had the answer. But then, I had a problem. I learned another Gemara that seems to contradict this. The Gemara is in Masechet Avodah Zarah Daf Chof Gimel Amud Aleph. There, the Gemara there discusses a woman who was imprisoned by the Goyim. The Gemara there says that there are two reasons why a person who can be imprisoned. Number one, for ransom. Or number two, on a capital charge, to be killed. A woman that is imprisoned to be killed, says the Gemara, is asura lebala. She's prohibited to her husband because we are afraid that there in the prison she may have given herself willingly to her captors. On the other hand, a woman who is imprisoned merely for ransom money is muteris lebala. The woman is permitted to her husband. And do you know why? Rashi says that in the reason why we are not concerned that that woman gave herself to her captors is as follows. Disovar, the captor believes, Iba ilnola, if I will do something to her, su loipora li ba'ala midi. Her husband won't pay me any ransom money to get her. If something happens to this woman, the guy thinks, her husband will not redeem her. Now, because of this, we matter the isha lebala. We are makel in this halacha because of this svara, because of what the guy believes in his mind. And so here you have a different perspective on what a guy thinks of a yid. This guy is wrong. Yidyan Shvuyim applies even if something happens to this woman. Yet the guy believes that if this woman, something does happen to her, Suloi para li bala midi, her husband won't pay me a penny for her. This is what the Goyim think of Yidden. And this is a halacha. We matter the woman because of this. Here we have a different perspective than we have from the Gemara in Kedusha. Here we see that the Goyim think that Jews think so value the lives of other Jews so little. They value the lives of their own wives so little. They are so selfish. They are so self-centered. Her husband won't pay me a penny for her. Now, here we have a contradiction. The Gemara in Kedushin is mashma that the Goyim do understand, they are aware, they are informed about how much money the Jews would pay for a mitzvah. For a stone that the Jews need, the Gemara says that the Goyim know that the Jews would pay any money in the world. But the Gemara in Avodah Zarah says that the Goyim think that for their own wives, the Jews won't pay a penny. For a stone, they'll pay any money in the world. But for their own wives, not a penny. Which is it? Are the Goyim aware of the extent to which the Jews would go for a mitzvah? The amount of tzedakah we would spend for pidyon shvuyim? The value we place on the lives of our families, of our wives? That for even a stone, we would pay anything for the mitzvah. Kal v'chomer ben b'noi shel kal v'chomer. For pidyon shvuyim? Or do the goyim think, I be'ilno lo su oiparo li ba'al amidi? Well, in order to reconcile this, you have to see just one more Gemara. It's a Gemara also in Masechet Avodah Zarah, and it gives us great insight into human nature. It teaches us how people judge other people. The Gemara is on Daf Yud Dalet Amud Beis. The Gemara is discussing that there are certain items that we are prohibited to sell to Goyim. The reason why we're prohibited to sell these items to Goyim is because we are afraid that they're going to use these items for Avodah Zarah purposes. For instance, a white chicken. White chickens were used for Avodah Zarah purposes in idolatrous ceremonies, like in Haitian voodoo. So if a Haitian comes over to you in Miami and asks you to sell him a white chicken, if you know, if you have reason to believe that this Haitian is going to use this white chicken for idolatrous purposes, then you're not allowed to sell him the chicken. Because there's an issur of lifnei iver lo yisitein mechshol. And even on a goy, for a Jew to be machshel a goy is prohibited because of lifnei iver. Now the Gemara discusses how we are able to determine within reason that the goy is going to use the item that he requested for Avodah Zarah, and when we don't have to worry that he's going to use the item requested for Avodah Zarah. When you're allowed to sell it to him and when not. And one of these situations, one of the circumstances the Gemara discusses, is when a goy asks specifically for a certain object, and he says, I want this for Avodah Zarah. He says, please sell me this item, because I want it for Avodah Zarah. I am a Haitian, and I want it for voodoo, and it's the type of voodoo that's halachically Avodah Zarah, and I want it for Avodah Zarah voodoo. Now, you would think that that's a black and white, open and shut case. That in such a case, of course you can't sell it to the guy. If there's any time that you have to worry that he's going to use the item you sell him for Avodah Zarah, that would be it. Says the Gemara, not necessarily. Gemara says that in certain cases, even if he asks specifically for an object for idolatrous purposes, you don't have to worry that he's really going to use them for idolatrous purposes. And this story he gave you, that he wants the item for Avodah Zarah, is a lie. Why would he lie? This is what the Gemara says. Sal kedai techamina. You would think, Hai gavra lav la avoidis kaychavim koboy. This person, this Haitian voodoo doctor, doesn't need this item for idolatry. Ela mi beku de abik ba avoidis kaychavim. He's so involved in Avodah Zarah, he's so orangutan in it, he's so steeped in Avodah Zarah, v'savar, and he thinks, ki hechi dahu gavra abikbei, just like he himself is so involved in Avodah Zarah, just like he's so steeped in it. Kuli Alma Nami Aviku. Everybody else is steeped in Avodah Zarah. He thinks the whole world is like him. Ema Hachi, he's saying this. He says to the merchants, give this to me for Avodah Zarah purposes. He's saying, I need this item for my voodoo. Ki hechi delesfuli, in order that he should get a discount on it. Kamash malon, so we learn that that you do have to worry. You would think that when a guy comes over to a yid with beard and payas, a yid who would give his life rather than bow down to Avodah Zarah, and he tells him, please, Reb Yid, sell me this item because I need it for my voodoo Avodah Zarah purposes. You would think that the guy really doesn't want it for Avodah Zarah, but rather he wants a discount. He's saying it because he thinks the Jew is also involved in Avodah Zarah. And if the Jew's involved in Avodah Zarah, he's going to give it to him cheaper. It's like he wants a tax deduction. He says, I want it for my church. And because you are also involved in Avodah Zarah, you the Jew, you're going to give it to him cheaper. Kamashmua, no. Maybe he's not lying. Maybe he's telling the truth. Maybe it's not that he thinks that you are so steeped in Avodah Zarah. Or if he does, maybe he really does want it for Avodah Zarah. Do you hear that? A guy comes over to a yid and asks to buy something. And he thinks that this yid, steeped in Avodah Zarah. Now, why would a guy think that? From all the things that you could be choshed a Jew for doing, look all over Shulchan Aruch, and you make a list of the things that are kal b'enei habriyos, things that are unfortunately lenient in the eyes of people. If naiva loisitei michshol, it says, is mashma in Yerideya. Whatever. Avodah Zarah is not on the list. Jews should be idol worshippers. Truth is, if you come to a yid and you say you need something for Avodah Zarah, he'll throw you out of a store. Yet this guy is so suspicious of this yid that he thinks this yid is also an idol worshipper, and that therefore it is to his advantage to mention that he wants this thing for Avodah Zarah. The Gemara tells us why. The Gemara tells us how you can so seriously misjudge somebody's character. How you can so wildly misjudge someone's personality. Because he's so involved in Avodah Zarah, he feels that the whole world is too. A person thinks that everybody in the world is like him. If you're an idol worshipper, you think that everybody else is an idol worshipper. Even an Erlich Yid. Anything that you are deeply involved in, what you are steeped in, you believe the whole world is involved in too. Well, right now we're able to reconcile these two Gemaras. The Gemara in Kedushin by Dama Bar Nesina, where it implies that Goyim understand that Jews would be Moiser Mamoin, that they would give a lot of money for mitzvahs, versus the Gemara in Avodah Zarah that implies that they wouldn't give a penny for Pidyon Shvuyim if they don't like what they're getting back, if they'd be disappointed. Tamar Bar Nesina was a person, although he was a guy, who would give money for what he thinks is right. After all, wasn't he Mavata on great profit in order not to wake up his father? So since that was his personality, he thought that that's what Chazal would do also. when he said, I know that you would give all the money in the world for a mitzvah. That's because Kevan de Hua Bikbe Tuva, Sova de Kue Almanami Abikbe. He recognized the good qualities in them, the quality of Mesiris Nefesh for mitzvahs, because he had Mesiris Nefesh for Kibbut Avaim. As opposed to the guy in Masechet Avodah Zarah, we know nothing about that guy except one thing. We don't know how educated he is. We don't know how much interreligious information he has. But one thing we do know, that if he had his chance, he would do something with that woman. We know that he's a Rasha. And therefore, we assume that if it was his wife that was captured and something happened to her, he wouldn't give a penny to redeem her. This guy, this Shegetz, this is not Dama Bar Nasina. Dama Bar Nasina is from Chassidei Umos HaOlam, at least where Kibbut Avaim is concerned. This guy is not. This is Stama Shegetz off the street. If it was his wife, he wouldn't give a penny. The Kevan de Huadik Obikbei Tuva, Sova de Kue Almanami Obikbei. Since he wouldn't give a penny, that's why he thinks that these Yidden wouldn't give a penny either. And that's the way the world works. People project their own personalities on others. And it's Mefurish in the Gemara. Kevan de Huadikbei Tuva, Sova de Kue Almanami Obikbei. And this is why very often we find parents trying to bring up their children the way they were brought up. Parents think children are like them. Parents think that their children not only are like each other, they think their children are like they themselves. How many times have parents told me that the reason why they allowed their children this leniency, this dangerous indiscretion, is because, well, we used to do this when we were kids and everything was fine. You used to do this when you were kids? Number one, your child is not you. He may be stronger, he may be weaker, but he is not you, so you can't compare. Number two, when you were kids and when your kid is a kid, when your kids are two different times, and you can't compare that either. Parents, brokara davua. The Ben Ish Chai says that the pshat means that a child is an offshoot, kara like a knee. A child continues the path that the parents started. But that does not mean that the child is a clone of the parents. Children are different than parents. Parents should not judge what they should do for one child based upon what worked by another, and it is an error, it is a mistake, it is a grave misconception to judge what will be successful with your children based upon what was successful with you when you were a child. Okay, so now we've established that every child is different, perhaps very different from their siblings, and that they need a different approach, and that children are very often different from their parents, and that they need a different approach. But now the question is this: how do you explain to your children that you're treating their sibling different than they're being treated? Perhaps one sibling needs a more lenient yeshiva environment. Perhaps one sibling needs a less intense curriculum. Perhaps one sibling needs more leisure time. Perhaps one sibling needs more flexibility, more freedom. And that's what's good for him. The other sibling, there are more different expectations for him. And those expectations demand a more rigorous, strict, confined environment. How do you explain to one sibling that the other sibling gets treated differently? Doesn't the Gemara also say that Yaakov Avinu was in error when he gave Yosef HaTzadik his coat
thereby treating him different than all his other siblings? So the Gemara does say that you should treat children equally. On one hand, we have to treat children different, chanoich l'nar al pi darkoi. But on the other hand, we don't want to generate jealousy the way Yosef's brothers were jealous of him. And so, when you have a chanoich l'nar al pi darkoi situation, and you have sensitive, enlightened parents who are astute enough to be able to treat each child according to his own needs, or her own needs, we now have to deal with the fact that the other siblings in the family may perceive this as unfair treatment. Why can my brother go to this yeshiva and I have to go to that one? Things like that. And therefore, it is very important to make sure, in order to prevent this, that we instill within our children a very basic hashkafa of Yiddishkeit. It's one that is often omitted from the yeshiva curriculum, or, if it's not omitted, it is sufficiently underemphasized that the children will not be able to apply it in everyday life, even though, in very many circumstances, they will need to be able to apply this hashkafa. There's a pasuk in Chumash, which we are all familiar with. The pasuk is in the Aseres HaDibros, and it goes like this. Lo yisach moed beis re'echo. You should not be jealous of your friend's home, or your friend's house. Lo yisach moed eishes re'echo. Do not be jealous of your friend's wife. The avdoi, and your friend's servant. The amosoi, and his maiden. The shoiroi, and his ox. The chamoiroi, or his donkey. The cholashel reyecha. Don't be jealous of anything that your friend has. And this pasuk is, the structure of this pasuk is very difficult to understand. It started off like Sachmoy Beis Reyecha, don't be jealous of your friend's house. Then the pasuk started listing various different pieces of property or various different things that you may be jealous of. Don't be jealous of your friend's house. Don't be jealous of his wife. Don't be jealous of his slave. Don't be jealous of his handmaiden. Don't be jealous of his ox. Don't be jealous of his donkey. And then, as it appears, the way it seems, that the pasuk just ran out, just got tired of listing individual items that you may be jealous of, so it says, ah, v'chol ashel reyecho, and etc. Don't be jealous of anything. And the pasuk just say, v'sach moed chol ashel reyecho. Why does the pasuk list off 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 things? House, wife, slave, maid, ox, donkey. 6 things, excuse me. 6 things the pasuk lists, and then it says, V'chol ashel reyecho. There's a word they say over from the Satmar Rebbe Zatzal on this pasuk, and he says that the structure of the pasuk is designed to give you advice, to give you a suggestion on how to avoid jealousy. Jealousy is a very difficult loisase to fulfill. After all, we have the Ibn Ezra, we have the Beis Halevi, we have the Mefarshim that ask, how is it possible to command somebody not to be jealous? You can command somebody not to steal, but you can't command somebody not to want to steal. The desire, the taiva, that's an automatic emotion. Emotions can't be controlled, actions can be controlled, and therefore, this one of the Aseres HaDibros is commanding us not to have a certain emotion. How are you not jealous? And the Satmar Rebbe says that this pasuk is explaining to us how not to be jealous. Let's say that you're jealous of somebody because they have a nicer house than you. Beis Reyecho. Let's say they live in the fanciest neighborhood in Miami Beach with a house on the water. Not a house, an estate. Not an estate. A small city they live in. Their own little plot of land that could pass for a town in another locale. With a few boats and a few cars. A lot of cars. And you're jealous because you're struggling to make a living, and you're able only to afford your little three-bedroom dira, and you're jealous because somebody else has more. The answer is, if you're jealous of somebody's house, or you're jealous of somebody's wife, or you're jealous of Avdoy Amosoy Sharei Chamoiroi, take a look at Chol Asher L'Reyecho, and then see if you're jealous. If somebody has a nicer house than you, then take a look at his other possessions. Take a look at the other things that he has. Take a look at his wife. Would you trade houses with his house? You have to have his wife? Or if you're jealous of Eishes Reyecho, just take a look at Ev Kola Shel Reyecho. Maybe Rachman Litzlan, he has a child that's sick. Maybe there's sickness in the family. Maybe they have a child that's off the derech. Maybe there's tarbus ra b'teich beisa shel odom. Maybe there are psychological problems. Maybe there are medical problems. Maybe there are domestic problems. Maybe there's no shalom bias. Everybody has a peckle. Everybody has something that they suffer from. And you should know that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives people is a package deal. You can't take this one's house, that one's wife, the next one's eved, the next one's omo, the next one's ox, and the next one's donkey. You can't take the best of what everybody has, because what everybody has, what each and every one of us have, is a package deal. Somebody may have a nicer house, but look at Kol Asher L'Reyecho. And then you'll throw your hands up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and thank him for the package deal that he gave you. Ad kan, the Satna Rav's Pshat in the Pasuk. And what this means is, it's a very basic Yiddish hashkafa, that every human being on this planet has their own individual nisyonis, has their own individual mission, and we cannot be jealous of somebody else's nisyonis, because it's a package deal. And so, when we bring up our children, we have to explain to them that everybody in this world has a different job. And even in the same family, even amongst siblings, each one has their own nisyonis and their own job, and we have our own expectations for each of them. When a sibling says, why can my brother or why can my sister go to this and this school where the curriculum is easier, / they have more freedom, / it's out of town as opposed to in town, or whatever, we have to explain to them, tell them this pasuk, tell them this vort, Chol Asher L'Reyecho. They're jealous of this because the sibling has it easier here. Your brother, your sister has it harder somewhere else. You have it easier somewhere else than your sibling has. You complain because you have a more difficult curriculum. But aren't you proud of the kishroiness that you possess? Would you trade your position for someone else's position, for your sibling's position, just because they have a little more flexibility where it comes to this particular yeshiva? We have to get our children to appreciate what they have. And part of appreciating what they have is appreciating their own individual nesoyin in this world. In order to avoid sibling rivalry and sibling jealousy and still be able to treat each sibling differently, we have to explain to our children that everybody has their own nisoyin, and it really doesn't pay to covet, to be jealous of somebody else's position in this world. Not that it's osur, although it is, but that's to tell them that it's osur, unless your child is on a very high madrega, explaining to them that it's osur will not motivate them not to be jealous. It should, but it won't. See the Beis Halevi. The way to teach them not to be jealous is firstly explaining to them that life is a package deal. Everybody has their pekel. And you can point out those people from whom your child is jealous that they have their own pekelach. And that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives each individual the best circumstances for them. Therefore, their own nisyonis, their own place in this world, is the best for them. May be a very different place and a very different nisyon than that which their siblings have. That's the best for them. You can explain to them the Chafetz Chaim's vort. Chafetz Chaim explained in one of his famous mishalim that a soldier that abandons his post in order to take up another post in the army. Let's say you have a soldier that's signed kitchen duty, and the soldier leaves kitchen duty in order to go fight on the front lines. So that soldier is liable for abandoning his post. And when the soldier goes on trial in the court-martial, and he tries to defend himself by saying, "What do you mean leaving my post? I went to fight in the front lines." The answer is going to be that even though you went to fight in the front lines, you still abandoned your designated post. The post that the higher authorities designed for you, assigned to you. And the nimshal is that everybody in the world has their assigned post. Perhaps one is a Yisachar, the one that learns a whole day in Paskin's Shilas, and fills the world with the light of his Torah. And another one may be a Zvulun, one who fills the world with the light of Yisachar's Torah by enabling Yisachar to be able to learn. Perhaps one of them is a Yaakov Avinu, Titein Emes LiYaakov. His job in the world was to be Maimed the Shiftei Ka, among other components of his job. And another one is destined to be an Esav, but not the Esav who was Esav HaRasha, the Esav who was supposed to be, the Esav whose job in this world was to become Esav HaTzadik, not the same type of Tzadik that Yaakov Avinu was supposed to become, was not supposed to have, who would not respond to the same upbringing that Yaakov Avinu responded to. That was Esav's job. Yaakov Avinu, Baruch Hashem, was able to fulfill his post in this world, and Esav abandoned his. And not only did he abandon his post, he abandoned the entire army. He abandoned the cause, because the job that was designated for him was not the one that he was being trained for. Esav was not an Ishtam. Esav was Yedei Atzayid. Esav was not a Yoshev Aholim. Esav was a man of the field. Esav could have been great. Could have been as big a tzaddik as Moshe Rabbeinu. The Rambam says that everybody could be as big a tzaddik as Moshe Rabbeinu. The Rambam says that everybody, Kol Adam, can be as great a tzaddik as Moshe Rabbeinu. But because he was trained for a post that wasn't his, he went off the derech totally. You know, great issue that I find between parents and children is that where the parents were not brought up from, where the parents are balei tshuva, the children very often develop this attitude where they feel, well, if my parents did this when they were children, I can also do this when I'm a child. Who are you, mother or father, to tell me not to do this when you yourself did? That's another place where this hashkafa becomes necessary. And it's best to teach this to them before this attitude comes up. You can't do what I did when I was a child, and just like I was unable to do what you're doing when you're a child. Not because I'm me and you're you, but because everybody in this world has their individual nisyonis. Children want independence. Children want individuality. Teenagers, the definition of a teenager is somebody who is trying to biologically, psychologically, and emotionally break away from their parents. They want individuality. The Torah gives them individuality, but not the individuality that those who are going off the derech are looking at. Individuality means you are not me. You are not me. I am your father. You are you. You have your job in this world, and I have mine. I had mine when I was a kid. You have yours now. You will have yours when you are an adult. Perhaps it is very much different than mine. Do you know? Ironically, parents very often try to stifle the child's individuality. When parents come to me, they come to me sometimes with an attitude, how do I make my children more like me? How do I prevent my child from becoming such an individual? Because to them, being an individual means different than the parents. Different than the parents means less from than them. And therefore they figure, let me not allow my child to have his own life, because if I do allow him to have his own life, it's going to be different than the way he was brought up. Different than the way he brought up means off the derech. This mindset is very convoluted. In point of fact, the child is entitled to his individuality. Every human being is entitled to their individuality. The child's entitled to be an individual vis-a-vis his siblings. The child's entitled to be an individual vis-a-vis his parents. The child's entitled to be an individual vis-a-vis his classmates and the rest of Klal Yisrael. Working in tandem, working in conjunction with Klal Yisrael, but as an individual with his individual tchunis, with his individual job, and his individual nisyonis. And parents could easily provide for children what the children are looking for. If they would explain to the child where to look for it, within the framework of Frumkeit. When a child is a baby, he's completely biologically, emotionally, and psychologically dependent upon his parents. As an adult, that dependency dissolves, unless he's learning in Kollel. And at least financially, he's dependent. Biologically, psychologically, emotionally, adults are independent of their parents. During the teenage years, when children are halfway between child and adult, there is a transition taking place. There is a detachment, an emotional, psychological detachment between the children and their parents. From dependence, they go to independence. And teenage years are the transition period. Sometimes there's a short circuit in the wiring, and this independence, this detachment manifests itself in the form of detaching themselves from the parents' Frumkeit, or detaching themselves from the parents' values. The detachment does not, and parents, therefore, in response, figure, let me prevent detachment. Let me prevent independence. That way the children will retain the values and retain the Frumkeit. No. Rather than try to fight the detachment and the independence, independence and detachment should be encouraged, but not independence from values or detachment from Frumkeit. Independence from the parents' individual tchunos in favor of the child's individual tchunos. Detachment from being a clone of the parents, being their own personality. Independence from the nisyonis of their parents, developing their own way to be oimed in their own nisyonis. Attachments from the life mission of their siblings to develop their own path in this world. All within the framework of Frumkeit, all within the framework of Yiddishkeit. And you know, there's a bonus to this approach. If you teach your children that everybody has their mission in this world, and that it really doesn't pay to be jealous of somebody else's mission because you don't really want that. There's a bonus to that. We don't want our children to look down on others. Now, in other words, Al todin es chavercha shetigia b'mkaymai. We want to instill this within our children. We want to teach our children to maintain their own standards of frumkeit without being a die-in over everybody else. The way to do this, the way to start doing this, is to instill within them the idea, the notion, that everybody has their own makom. You can't tell a child, "Atodin es chavercha ad shetigia b'mkaymai," if that child thinks that he and the other person are in the same makom. There is an assumption in that chazal. The assumption is that the reader understands that he is in a different makom than others, that he has different nisyonos than others, he has different circumstances than others. And now, it's telling you, don't judge somebody else until you're in their circumstances. But it's assumed that there is such a thing as different circumstances. The reason it is often very difficult to get this through to our youngsters, and incidentally to our adults, that Al todin es chavercha ad shetigia b'mkaymai, is because we treat everybody like clones of each other. We have the expectations for one that we have for another. We have the same expectations. We give them the same treatment. And therefore they assume that there is no such thing as different makaymis in this world. And Al todin es chavercha ad shetigia b'mkaymai becomes obsolete. To crystallize this chazal, to clarify it, to make it boilet in a person's mind, we must constantly emphasize the fact that everybody in this world is an individual, and everybody has individual nisyonos, they have individual needs, they have individual pains and individual pleasures. One guy may have a bias, one guy may have an isha, one guy may have a shor, one guy may have a chamor, one guy may have an omo. Some may bring pain, some may bring pleasure. And life is a package deal, and everybody's package is individually gift-wrapped and inscribed for the specific person. And the gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us inside that package is custom-tailored for each individual. You know, I know a certain Rebbetzin who has in a room in her house a whole room full of silver bechers, gift wrapped. In the same wrapping paper, the same becher. And I asked this Rebbe, I said, "What is this?" And he says, "This is bar mitzvah presents, this is chasana presents." I forgot if it was either bar mitzvah or chasana presents. And she gives the same gift to everybody. So rather than going out, the Rebbetzin goes to a lot of chasanas, so rather than going out every week or twice a week to go buy a gift, she bought them bulk, she had them gift-wrapped, and she just sticks a little card on for each person. That's not the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu works. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everybody, their gifts in this world, custom-tailored, designed for them. For some people it's kishroinus, for some people it's physical strength, for some people it's stamina, for some people it's bina, for some people it's chokhmah, for some people it's das. Some people it's money. Maybe an isha. For Rabbi Akiva, that's what it was. Reb Tarfon, he had a lot of money. Other tzaddikim had other resources which they used for avodas Hashem. And to be jealous of some person doesn't pay, because chol asher reyecho. Rabbi Akiva didn't have the greatest upbringing, but Rabbi Akiva had the greatest wife. There are others in the Gemara who it says that their wives were they weren't like Rabbi Akiva's wife. It was just the opposite. But they had a different upbringing than Rabbi Akiva did. And this pasuk is teaching us not to be jealous of somebody else's package HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives, because each one of our packages are custom designed for us. And the bonus we have when teaching this to our children is that once it comes to the point that they do understand that there's such a thing as different nesyonos and everybody needs to be treated differently, fairly, equally, but equal but different, based upon each individual's needs, they'll stop judging other people. They'll be receptive to al todenes chavercha shetigivim koimoi. And in a community where there are so many different types of fruma yidden, with so many different types of behavior, and I'm not saying that everybody's behavior is 100% perfect, we would like our children to maintain their standards that they are taught and be strong, yet not to judge their neighbors until they're able to be in their neighbor's place. And since they're not, we don't want them to judge their neighbors. The first step in getting our children to do this is to teach them that their neighbors are in a different place. Now, we can assume that if Yitzchak Avinu erred in trying to bring up two children that were so different from each other, we can assume that it's a very difficult thing to do. And one may wonder, mistakenly, well, if Yitzchak Avinu couldn't do it, then what makes us think that we can? And if you are wondering this, well, then you have to listen to this lecture over again, because Yitzchak Avinu's circumstances and ours are much different. Yitzchak Avinu had his attributes that were given to him by Kadosh Baruch Hu, and we have ours. We cannot compare our milas to those of Yitzchak Avinu, but at least we have Yitzchak Avinu's example. We have Esav as a negative role model to have in mind constantly and to point to teach us what happens to a child when he's brought up to be something that he's not cut out to be. Yitzchak Avinu did not have that. So let us start to apply what we've learned here today and use those things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us to teach our children to be the best that